Mr. Paul Topping, thank you for participating at this Motoris of the Sea conference. Can you please introduce yourself?
Thank you. Delighted. My name is Paul Topping. I am the Manager of Environmental Protection at Transport Canada, Canada's Ministry of Transport. I administer Canadian requirements for the North American Emission Control Area, as well as all of the MARPOL Convention requirements in Canada, as well as ballast water requirements.
Thank you. Please give a short resume from your held presentation.
I provided an overview of what we are doing in Canada to implement the North American Emission Control Area in partners with the United States and France, and how we're taking a monitoring and enforcement approach. I also provided a bit of background as to why we're doing it and the benefit that Canada receives. In excess of $1.1 billion a year in healthcare costs, and that was the principal driver for us doing that. We noted that the industry now has an advantage of low fuel prices to affect the changeover, but we know those prices aren't going to be around forever, so we're also been looking at alternative technologies, particularly for the sectors that operate in the emission control area all the time, versus those that can come in and those that can go out.
What is the next upcoming maritime issue that will be discussed in a global perspective and in a regional perspective?
Globally, there are two issues. The biggest one, I think, will be in the near term, will be the outcome of the Paris and climate change discussions at IMO. They will look at what future steps the IMO can possibly take. The next thing, both globally and somewhat regionally, is the 2020 or 2025 shift in the 3.5% down to 0.5% for the entire world's fleet in terms of sulfur content and fuel. Emission control area states are positioned to be competitive in that area as they're already adopting the 0.1%. So the technology and approaches that are being adopted now are readying those companies for 2020. In Canada, we're taking the view that this is likely to be confirmed in 2020. There is a study that is underway to look at fuel and look at the availability of compliant fuel. And I think what will happen at IMO is that will also coincide with fuel quality is another issue that's emerging at IMO. But where the compliant fuel is, globally, the fuel is present, the supply is present, but I think what the study will highlight is where challenges may be in certain local markets.
And in a regional perspective?
Regional perspective will be within emission control areas, I believe, the adoption of the alternative approaches. The adoption of scrubbers and LNG is still nascent technology. It's still new. There's no type-approved systems out there that is in the conventional sense that's off the shelf that can be fitted. It's all new technology and adoption, and with that, there's always risk of failure. There's going to be failures and things that don't work as expected, and there will be things that work as well, and it's building on that to develop the information as to how things then can work. And again, we're doing that now, so I think ECA states are positioned well before 2020.
To learn from other transport modes, what do you think is the primary issue, if any, that shipping as a transport mode should look further into?
I think energy efficiency is probably one of the bigger issues when you're looking at collaboratively with other transport modes. The classic pollutant source, we're grappling with sulfur and nitrogen oxide controls that are bringing shipping towards where other transport modes are already there. But when you're looking at energy efficiency, I think we're working at the same pace as the other transport modes. Shipping actually being already a very efficient mode, however, still accountable for about 3% of global greenhouse gases, and that's coming out of the IMO study on greenhouse gases. To put that in perspective, and if you looked at the top 20 emitters coming out of the United Nations Conference on Climate Change, shipping would be within the top 20 if they were a country by itself. So it's still a significant number, even though it just looks like it's only 3%. And so there's much further work to be done. And the IMO is working on that area, discussing what future measures could be adopted. Typically, I think what's been envisioned is a phased approach, which Canada does support. It's a sensible way forward where there is a data collection phase, and that's sort of the other current discussion among the industry to see, well, what is the actual energy efficiencies that we're seeing on ships, and some of the supporting information as to what they're carrying and the patterns that they're seeing. And from that information, derive a standard that will be work, and then from that derivation, theoretical work, to move into a practical application to actually pilot that standard, learn, continue to collect data, learn what you're seeing and what's working and not working, and then go back and revise it and then come down on a final standard that you actually had piloted through. That's sort of the phases that are being envisioned. It is not something that will happen overnight. It will take time, but it is something that we hope to have some success with.
What are the success factors enabling us to take the technical leap?
I think first and foremost is recognizing the technology is a function of the industry. It takes firms that are willing to take the capital risk at this time. So that involves things like convincing shareholders and investors that this technology is the right way to go. They have to make a commercial case for it. They have to show that it's going to position their company, a given technology is going to position their company well, that there's an advantage from either a cost and has to be cost savings or increased profitability down the road over a long term. So there might be a cost up front, but there's a payoff towards the end as to where the company is positioned in terms of the freight rates they can offer their clients. And when the investors see that, they will make those risks and adapt them. It's up to government then to recognize the alternative ways the industry can come forward to reduce the emissions and to focus on performance as opposed to prescribing how they should do a thing, but to look at the ultimate performance, that we're seeing less emissions coming out of the exhaust stack.
So it takes action.
Yes.
Not just talking.
Exactly.
What do you think is the most vital component to be able to make a full transition into a more safe, environmentally and energy efficient, still profitable transport at sea?
So the two most vital components is both the industry and in the government. The industry has to have and bring forward their technologies, and they need to be having a predictable regulatory environment. Government needs to be responsive to new technologies and the safety issues new technologies may bring forward, such as shifting from use of heavy fuel and petroleum fuel, to which we already have regulatory and safety systems around, to the things, the use of LNG, compressed natural gas, and other fuels, which we need to develop regulatory frameworks. IMO has a code on liquid natural gas and other things as a start, but nations then need to implement those things in their own regulatory frameworks. And then that needs to flow into seafarer training to understand that how they're managing these risks of these new technologies so that they're executed safely.
Exciting future.
Indeed.
I'm talking about the future. A year from now, what do you think will be the main topic that will be discussed within the shipping industry with roots inside ECA?
A year from now, it'll within the emission control areas that have Tier 3 nitrogen oxides, it'll be the adoption of engine technology that meets the Tier 3. A big feature there is the use of selective catalytic conversion technology or the use of liquid natural gas and other liquid gases such as methanol. It's going to be interesting where we see differing liquid gases being put forward and other alternative fuels being put forward. And we like to see a range of choice available to the industries, and it's going to be that choices and what those choices are going to be, I think, the next interesting thing for the next 5 years in addition to just the next year. We're going to see some changes coming forward, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you.